I don't appreciate being treated like Captain Bly. Well, say something.
Aye, aye.
Welcome to the show, Moonlighting fans. Whether you're a Moonlighting fan from way back when, or whether you are new to Moonlighting and you want to know what all the hype is about, you have come to the right place. Hi, I'm Grace.
And I'm Shauna. And we're your hosts for the podcast that is all about Moonlighting. When we talk about Moonlighting, we're talking about the Emmy Award-winning 80s TV series starring Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd. So if you're a fan of theirs, you're going to want to stay tuned as we review all 66 episodes.
We hope you enjoy this journey with us because we are going to be watching the series episodes one by one and discussing them every week. Now, this is going to take several years, as you can imagine, so please join us because we are going to have so much fun along the way. We will also be releasing bonus episodes of interviews with creators, cast and crew to extend your listening experience.
That's right, and we really want to include our Moonlighting fans in this project as much as possible. So write to us and let us know what your thoughts are and even if you have some trivia to disclose. Our email address is fans@moonlightingthepodcast.com and we will include you in our future episodes.
So stay with us. Shauna and I are beyond excited to finally bring Moonlighting into the 21st century for some serious discussions. You up for it, Shauna?
I sure am.
Well, let's get started.
Here we are again, Grace. How wonderful to see you, as always.
As always, my love. We are here now to talk about It's a Wonderful Job, Season 3, Episode 8.
I know, and I was so hoping that we could talk about this episode around the holidays, but just didn't work out timing-wise. It was our plan. Our plan was to end with this episode near Christmas, but with the book, writing the book and getting some other things together as far as recording other episodes, we just didn't quite get there by Christmas, but hey, Christmas in February, whenever this is airing.
Yeah, we haven't worked out the date yet, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Job. It first aired on December 16, 1986. It was directed by Ed Sheeran. This was the only episode that he ever directed. It was written by Deborah Frank and Carl Sauter. We have a special guest star in this episode, Lionel Stander. Other stars are Charles Rocket as Richie, Cheryl Teagues as herself, Richard Libertini as Albert, Jack Blessing as McGillicuddy, Lucy Lee Flippin as Julie, Wally Taylor as the bartender, Patty Friedman as Wendy, and Patty Cahoon Friedman as the receptionist. This classic episode is a very popular episode with Moonlighting fans. It's a homage to the movie It's a Wonderful Life, which was made in 1946, starring Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. In the movie, an angel is sent down from heaven to show a frustrated businessman what life would have been like if he never existed.
Yeah.
But in the Moonlighting plot, Maddie is forced to make her employees work over Christmas due to one of their clients' court cases being moved up to December 28. After a lively and angry discussion with the employees and David, Maddie snaps and says, "I wish I'd never kept this place open. Then we'd see how cocky you'd be. Then we'd see." While sitting in a bar, she meets a man. Unbeknown to her, this man is an angel sent down from heaven to show her what life would be like without her. The angel begins to take her to see people and places she knows, showing her what paths they took and how successful they are because Maddie never existed. Maddie now wants her agency back. She wants everything back to the way it was now that she has seen the life of her friends without her. The episode ends with another passionate kiss between Maddie and David, which is what Moonlighting fans love. They then turn to the camera and say, "And to all, a good night."
So we're doing the pan down through Maddie's bedroom, which is done many times over in Moonlighting, you know, seeing Maddie's old modeling pictures on the wall and across her bed. And we see that she's a very busy woman, brought her work home with her the night before. One of the things that is in our book, when Curtis Armstrong first comes onto Moonlighting, there's a little bit of confusion about how they spell his name. From one episode to the other, that changes. So in this episode, it's spelled B-U-R-T. So Curtis's name, he has a credit here at the beginning. It comes up and it's spelled B-U-R-T in this episode. But as we point out in our book, Grace, it does change. So I believe the first time he gets a credit, the first time he didn't get a credit in
Yours Very.
Yeah. Then in All Creatures, Great and Not So Great, he's credited as B-U-R-T, Bert Viola. Mm-hmm. And then in Atomic Shakespeare, it's spelled B-E-R-T, Viola. Okay. And then in this episode, it's spelled B-U-R-T again. And then after in subsequent episodes, they settle on B-E-R-T. So, I just wanted to point that out in the opening credits. And then I wanted to talk about the song that plays, which originally was Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes. And this song plays quite prominently in the episode. Here it wakes Maddie up from her sleep. And later we hear it in the background at the party. And then again, later in the episode, when Maddie's at the bar, when real time picks up again, they're playing that song again. So yeah, it was a very prominent song. I think it gave it a lot of energy. The episode, a lot of energy. Of course, we are just used to these songs playing in the episodes. But it's a great song. I mean, of course, it's a great song. It's a classic song. It's the Ronettes singing. So how can you beat that? So the song that they replaced it with on Hulu is called Santa's on His Way by Alan Morehouse. It's replaced in those three spots during the episode. So, you know, of course, to us, it'll never be the same. But I have to say, this song has been stuck in my head all week.
What? The song that it was replaced with? That one? Is that
Yes.
What you're talking about? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like Santa's on his way. Okay. Happy holiday. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of catchy. So, you know, maybe some of these, we've done our music review in a previous episode. People can go listen to that, you know, about the music changes on Hulu. I don't think we talked about this episode specifically, or maybe we did, I'm not sure. But, you know, of course, we will review music ongoing as we move forward here. But maybe some of this music will grow on us. It's never going to be the Ronettes, but it's a catchy tune, I have to say.
Okay, well, maybe it works.
Yeah, maybe.
The Ronettes songs were always catchy and uplifting, and that's why it was a good song to choose, this particular song, to wake Maddie up and get her up and going.
It's just so moonlighting, you know, it's just one of those Motown favorites. You know, I mean, it just has like Glenn or Bruce written all over it, probably Glenn at that point, but the originals will always be the best music for moonlighting, of course. But yeah, I will say that it has been stuck in my mind all week and it's a catchy tune.
Okay. Well, maybe they did a good job on that one.
So Maddie's up and moving down the stairs. I was laughing at how fast she moved down those stairs in heels, just thinking of like a few episodes further down the line where she doesn't want to come down the stairs. She flew down that spiral staircase. But anyway, she gets to the door and we can just see that she's, you know, they're just painting a picture of a very busy Maddie rushing out the door. She's had her paperwork, you know, strewn around her all night, and then the phone rings.
Going back, I thought it was interesting, the lighting when they were panning across her room. There were like three different colors. It was nice. There was a slight breeze over the curtains as well. Over the bed, it's sort of orangey. And then there's a yellow light in the background where the lamp is. And then when you get to Maddie, it's sort of like a nice natural light that's on her face.
Yeah,
it's sort of got a little bluish tinge on it, on Sybil. It's very nice. I would have thought that would have taken a while to set up. There was three or four different colors I noticed on Sybil.
Yes. Thanks for pointing that out too, because again, just through writing the book and really scrutinizing these episodes even deeper, you know, noticing that Jerry Finnerman lining.
He was just the best, honestly. Oh,
I know. I mean, the more you notice, you know, those light changes, three different light changes in one little scene where she's in bed. I mean, that's such an attention to detail. And yeah, there's some other lighting things that I noticed along the way too. So yeah, thanks for pointing that out. It's great.
And also I noticed a goof after she comes down the stairs. Have you noticed anything unusual?
I did not. Please do tell.
Okay. So I agree how fast she comes down the stairs, and she's very athletic. You're right. And she's got her heels on. So not that they're really high heels or anything, but yeah. So she comes down the stairs with her coat on her arm, but when she goes to leave out the door, it's gone.
Nice catch.
Now, it's out of view, but she's clearly not holding it, because the way her arm is, it would have fallen off her. So she's just holding her handbag under her arm, and she's got her briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
So when she comes down the stairs, she's got her coat. Then there's a cut of her coming out of the front door, and it's gone.
Yeah.
And then when she goes to answer the phone, when her mother rings, the coat appears again.
Now she's holding everything in her hand, and the coat is there. So obviously the coat was with her on all the indoor shots, but when they set up outside, she forgot to take the coat.
Yeah. It's a very interesting phone call when her mother rings too, because the way she talks, it's not how somebody would normally respond. It's only for the viewer's benefit to let us know what her mother is asking her.
I was thinking of you so much, Grace. I'm like, Grace, I have a field day with this phone call, because like when they appeared, I think it was Yours Very Deadly, and they showed up at Mr. Bauer's home, and the cops are, you know, saying, homicide, yes, side drawer, yes.
Blood instrument. There's some blood on the bedroom phone, so we're bringing that with us. No. No signs of forced entry, no signs of theft. Just a night table drawer forced open.
Maddie here is very much like, yes, I know she's sick. Yes, I know I should go to the hospital. Yes. Yeah, it's all for the viewers. That's so funny how they did that.
No, I haven't been to the hospital yet. No, I know. I'm Aunt Ruth's only family out here. I know she's been very ill, but I've just been so... I promise. Tonight, I'll go to the hospital. I even have a Christmas present for her.
Yes, it's just setting up that Aunt Ruth, who we've never heard of before, is somehow in Los Angeles. I'm pretty sure about this. This cracks me up. I don't know why. When Maddie goes to hang up the phone, you see a picture there. Okay. There's a picture on the table. And by the way, there's an ashtray on the side of Maddie's bed. And I believe there's another ashtray on this table as well. But how many ashtrays does Maddie need, especially one by her bedside? Kind of weird. Along with unicorns and all sorts of other things that Maddie has. But anyway, the side table here where Maddie hangs up the phone, you see a corner of a picture in the background. I believe the picture is of Sybil, you know, when they were filming Gunfight at the So-So Corral, and they have some pictures, like behind the scene pictures. And one of the pictures is of her sitting in the car. Bruce is in the car next to her as well, but she's just sitting in the car kind of smiling and looking to the side. It's not part of the episode or anything like that. It's just kind of behind the scenes photos.
Oh.
I believe that's the photo that they have in the frame, which is just funny to me, because it's like, why would Maddie have a picture of an outtake of Sybil on it? It's just a weird, I don't know. Oh. Just makes me laugh because it's kind of outside the character.
So there's more blurred lines, Shauna.
I know. Yeah. Because like in the life of Maddie Hayes, she would never have that photo, because that's a photo of Sybil on the set of Moonlighting filming Gunfight at the So-So Corral, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think we ever talked about it in the episode, but I have told you about it since. In the dream sequence, Always Rings Twice, if you look behind, you know, Maddie on the piano, there is a picture. It's another like behind the scenes picture. It's like a promo. It's like a promotional photo of Sybil in the dress that she's wearing at the Starline Room, you know, the black dress with the white puffy sleeves.
Yep.
That photo is framed on Maddie's piano in Dream Sequence. But it's like, that's for the pilot episode, but it's like, why would Maddie have a picture of Sybil? You know what I mean? Yeah, blurred lines, like you said. Anyway.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I love how they add these little touches, the props department, you know?
I know. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, but you got to look and you can catch these little things.
Yeah, we do. We scrutinize it all to hell and back. So, okay, now she gets in the elevator.
We're back in the elevator.
Yes.
Yes, and one person starts singing. They're in the Christmas mood. They start singing, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. You can't see that person, the one that starts singing. But then they slowly all join in, and there's one guy in the back who has no idea. The words are not coming out of his mouth right. But anyway, one of the guys turns to Maddie and says, tree trimming party in the lobby at 10. She's already in the Grinch mood in this episode. She doesn't seem very impressed. But they eventually all start singing together, and she gets off the elevator, and this is where Santa comes along and says, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, young lady.
Yeah. So Maddie is in no mood, as she says later, because she's, you know, gotten on the elevator other days, you know, singing Monday, Monday and been all happy and everything. But somehow she's not feeling Christmas this year. And also just to remind everybody that anything that cast or crew has sung in Moonlighting was never replaced. So it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas is there. And those things weren't cut from Moonlighting, anything that the cast or crew were singing. So yeah, that song is still there and not replaced. Yeah. So then the next cut is Maddie getting out of the elevator and she's kind of walking away. And a Santa comes up, yes, and is cheerily telling her that the tree trimming party is happening in the lobby. And Maddie kind of snaps at him, right? That she doesn't want to go to the tree trimming party. She doesn't have time for the tree trimming party. Okay.
Busy woman.
I mean, she's pretty harsh, right? Take your tree and shove it down your sack, Mac. Is that what she tells him?
That's what she says. Right. Yep.
My gosh, Maddie. So yes, now Grace and I independently, because again, always looking closer, you know, for the podcast, we noticed a goof. And the reason I kind of noticed it, it's funny because, okay, it's registered that it's odd that there are people walking in the background, because we never see people walking in the background by the elevators like this. You know, we never see people using that hallway that goes in the back. For some reason in this episode, they're using this hallway. So I noticed that people were walking back and forth. So, of course, looked a little closer, and what we noticed was there are two women that walk by and they're holding poinsettias. They walk by once when there's more of a close-up on Santa, and then when they do the wide shot, when Maddie turns around to head off to Blue Moon, these same women walk by again. Right, Grace?
Yes, that is correct. So in the first cut, he comes along and says ho, ho, ho to Maddie, and two women walk past in the background. And then there's a cut to Maddie, and then there's a cut to the Santa again, and the same women walk past again. So it's just hilarious.
Yep. Yeah. So whatever cuts they use, they had the women walking in the background twice. And yeah, of course, we catch it here 40 years later. All right. Then Maddie's heading into Blue Moon.
And McGillicuddy's back.
Yeah. When's the last time we saw him?
The last time we saw him, I have it here, believe it or not. I do have it here somewhere, Shawnee Shawns.
Can't wait to hear.
So he's back for his second episode. The first one was The Man Who Cried Wife.
Ah, of course.
Yeah.
And he was getting married.
Yeah. Jack Blessing does two episodes in season three. He then comes back for season four for six episodes. And then he does nine episodes in season five. So he gradually progresses with more episodes with each season.
Yeah.
We won't see him again now until Take a Left at the Altar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah. I guess they needed someone with a speaking part who was going to quit, but they didn't want it to be Bert. So they brought him back for that. Well, everyone is packing up the cheer, up Christmas. Mm. And Maddie wants to know why.
Yeah. How could she not know why everybody's upset?
I know. It's a discussion. Of course, it's awful. And I would like to know, have a clearer picture. Do they have to work on Christmas Day? It sounds like if they get their work done, no. But yeah, it sucks, you know, that they have to work. And yeah, that they were supposed to have the week off and all of that. So I can understand why they're mad, but how about getting the work done instead of taking the holiday decorations down and packing up?
Even Mr. Pesto is not happy. And she is clearly expressing that to Maddie.
Mr. I know.
Pesto, what's going on?
Mr. Pesto, what's going on?
Nothing is going on. It's all coming off. We're undecking the halls. Excuse me, but the quicker we get this done, the quicker we can get our noses back to their grindstones.
I take it this refers to my memo.
What memo? Oh, you mean the memo about working Christmas. I think I remember taking a glance at that memo.
Mr. Pesto is full of sarcasm here in this scene. She's like, she's being quite facetious. But Maddie thinks, why? That doesn't mean you've got to take the decorations down. But then it's really funny here because Agnes goes,
says who? I mean, no point in hanging out the stocking when Santa ain't coming to town.
So it's similar to the scene in Atomic Shakespeare when Bianca bites back at Katerina, and then Katerina turns around and Bianca says, far be it for me to rush you, you know.
Yeah. That's true. Yes.
It's very similar.
Or I was
to
thinking,
that.
Yeah, similar to that or similar to My Fair David when she said, you D-Daved him. She's very mad at her there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But she's more adamant in My Fair David. She doesn't really pull back.
Yeah.
You know,
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Yes. She says, far be it from me to kind of like changes her tone. Mm. Now, the one thing, yeah, that struck me is the memo about working Christmas. And maybe that was David's point when he tells Maddie in a minute or two that a favor is something you ask for. So yeah, maybe Maddie should have called a meeting and explained the situation and asked, you know, if those who can help through Christmas or something like that. Yeah, she could have been a little bit more diplomatic about it. A memo is pretty harsh for like, well, we're all working Christmas now, you know?
Yeah, look, you know what? I agree with the workers, especially when you find out in the next scene when Maddie says to David, they don't have to work Christmas Day necessarily as long as they get their work done. That's harsh. How can you possibly make somebody, in, back in those days anyway, and considering the business that they're in, to make somebody work Christmas week, I don't think it's necessary. You know, nowadays things are open 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. But back then, I think that's a bit harsh what Maddie's asking. Even though the way the workers are behaving is not professional either, but I understand how they feel. You know, you'd want Christmas off. That's understandable.
Well, absolutely. Especially Christmas. Yes. Now, working Christmas week, you know, Maddie does make a good point. I mean, the thing is, the business is just kind of taking off. It's only what they say, two and a half years, right? So I get Maddie's point where she says they have steady jobs, you know, a bonus. She's trying to build something. She's trying to keep the business going. They have a client that needs to meet their deadline on the 28th. They unfortunately kind of have to keep working. Work on Christmas Day? No, of course not. It makes me really uncomfortable how everyone's acting towards Maddie. Kind of acting hateful, like they don't like her. And I don't like that. I don't like how harsh they're being to Maddie. But this is where we're at. You know, I guess they have to set the stage for there to be some tension where she just wishes that she never kept the place open because they're ungrateful, you know.
Yeah.
So Grace, do you have enough moonlighting in your life?
Shauna, I never have enough moonlighting in my life. You know that.
Yeah, that's true. I did know that, but you know, it's kind of a rhetorical question. You know, after we do these episodes, sometimes I like to get online and chat about moonlighting a little bit more. You know where you can do that?
Shall we tell the fans where?
I think we should share where they can come discuss more moonlighting with us directly.
Well, first of all, they can join us on our Facebook group, which is called Fans of the Moonlighting Podcast.
And they can also search Moonlighting the Podcast on Instagram, on X, formerly known as Twitter, and YouTube. See you there.
Oh, and by the way, again, Maddie's coat is missing.
Oh, okay.
And she walks in.
And I guess I don't think she takes it with her later either, but then she's got it on. So yeah, this coat is causing them some continuity.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that the workers are doing. They're wearing black armbands because Christmas is dead, basically. That's a little bit far-fetched, workers. That's not nice. I mean, I understand where they're feeling, but yeah, that's just another little addition there. Another nice rhyme from Agnes.
Greenwood Detective Agency, if your stocking gets stolen and your tree can't be found, you may as well call us because we'll be around. We have to work Christmas, so if you're in a pinch, just give Greenwood a jingle and ask for the Grinch.
Grinch.
Yes. And there's a meme of this frame of Agnes on the phone to Maddie in the background just listening to her say this rhyme that's all about Maddie being a Grinch, basically. Maddie's look is just so unamused, and it's just one of the best memes ever.
I checked something, Shauna.
Yeah.
You know the over the shoulder of Sybil while Agnes is saying the rhyme?
Yeah.
That's Sybil.
Yeah. Yeah, surprisingly it is.
Her hair. I checked the hair.
Same little curls.
Yep. I was very happy about that.
Yeah, I'm surprised, actually. And Sybil looks just gorgeous in this episode, of course. You know, especially that look that she gives Agnes there. Yeah, she just love the hair. This is when we just start loving her hair so much, you know. Less curls, more natural.
Maddie's getting worked up now. The steam's starting to come out of her ears. Maddie gets her attention to explain that it's not her fault that they have to work Christmas, that the court date was moved up. and she feels that she has an obligation to honor her commitment. And then she says, I feel terrible about this. And they all go,
good.
That's not nice, people. Okay. That's your boss.
I know.
Anyway, I've written here, the Wobblies must have got paid a bonus this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They got a line in there. Yeah.
So Maddie says, fine, Merry Christmas, and storms into her office. I did notice too, looks like Jurgensen's had a haircut.
Okay. Shorter hair.
Yep.
For Jurgensen. Let me mention the outfit. The outfit was worn before in another episode. Do you remember?
I'd have to read our book. I know it has been worn before. I just can't. Oh, I know. I'm not looking at the book. Camille.
Camille, you are correct. Yeah, season 2, episode 18, Camille. Maddie wears this purple outfit. And there's more to discuss about this outfit going forward in this episode. But yes, she does wear this when they go to meet Camille in her hotel room. Yeah, so Maddie's in her office. And?
Oh, Shauna.
Mm-hmm.
This scene breaks my heart.
Yeah. This scene, I mean, not this scene, this episode is Bruce gets a break.
Yep. He's getting a break on this scene. It is, as I always say, cut to bits. They are not in many cuts together.
No, they aren't in any cuts together. Those are all doubles. There's not one master shot with them both in it where you can see their faces. I think it's all doubles.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think Bruce's over the shoulder is Bruce. You disagree?
Then why don't they show us a master shot with the two of them in it? I mean, you only get like the very side. And at one point you see the back of his head and that's not Bruce.
Oh, really? I thought it was.
There might be one. When he stands up and puts his hand in his pocket, maybe that might be Bruce. But why don't they ever show us a full master shot with the two of them in it? You know?
Well, that's true. I analyzed this scene a little bit. It goes for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. There are four Sybil over the shoulders and there are four Bruce over the shoulders. When it's Sybil's over the shoulder, I've put here that it's clearly the body double. But when it's Bruce's over the shoulder, I thought it was Bruce. So unless the body double is amazing with the size of his head and his haircut.
By the way, I don't like Bruce's haircut in this. It's very short.
It's very short. Yeah.
I don't like it. He must have just gotten a haircut. Maybe a barber came to a moonlighting set because everyone's got a damn haircut. It might be Bruce. It might be. But there's still, you know, Bruce and Sybil are in the office together. I want like a clear shot of the two of them with their faces. You know what I mean? Why show so much? Maybe they were showing a lot of Bruce's over the shoulder to use a double at some point as well. I don't think it's always Bruce. I don't think every over the shoulder is Bruce.
Okay. Really? There's one, like him, though.
There's one, like the shirt is kind of ill fitting. It's kind of tight and like loose on the collar about 7:30 in. I don't think that's Bruce. It's a maybe. It might be half and half. I don't know. It's very cut, single cut, single cut. And I think sometimes Bruce was there for the other side of Sybil. I don't think she was there much for Bruce's side. So yeah, definitely she's a double for Bruce. I'm not sure it's him every cut.
Okay.
But, yeah.
You're right, though. There's no wide shot of both of them in it at all. So
no.
As Jay has always said, Sybil's a morning person and he's an afternoon person. So she probably did her side in the morning and his side in the afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Also, I don't love this scene, just the whole dialogue of it. It kind of feels like David is taking their side and isn't understanding Maddie at all. And yeah, I just feel like everyone's against Maddie and I kind of feel bad for her. And I wish David would have her back a little bit more as partners in the company. I think he needs to back her up a little bit and not be so much on the wobbly side, you know?
I think in private, he doesn't have to agree with her, but when they go out to the outer office, they need to be a united front.
Yeah.
And he's not giving her that support. I agree with you there.
Yeah, it kind of bums me out. Yeah, I just don't like how everybody's against Maddie here. You know, I mean, yeah, he's just saying like a favor, something you ask for. I don't know, like some of the dialogue just doesn't ring true if we're going to be like real honest about it. Like, a good job doesn't love you back, Maddie. I don't know. I never saw Maddie as only just being about work, 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 and business, business, business. It's just like this certain circumstances, they have a client and the deadline is the 28th. So unfortunately, it just works out that they, you know, although it is Christmas, you know, and maybe, yeah, later they kind of figure out, they could call the client and say, we're not going to make that deadline when it needs to be pushed. Maybe she could have pushed back on the client a little bit, but she's kind of trying to meet his needs. I don't see Maddie as someone who's just all about work. And that's kind of what David is saying to her here, which doesn't totally ring true to me. I don't think Maddie's as cold and as heartless and as mean as they're painting her out to be in this episode. You know, like later when they see DePesto and she's like, this is me. It's like, well, that's not how I, yes, Maddie can be cold. And yes, Maddie, you know, but she's not all terrible.
No.
She's got a big heart. She's always trying to return the money and, you know, thinking of the client and has been there for David many times and cares about DePesto, you know, they're painting her out to be like very harsh.
Yeah, I think Maddie firmly believes she's doing the right thing. The business, when you look at it, everything she's been through, losing her money, the business is all she's got. So yeah, she firmly believes that she's doing the right thing. However, I think she's in her little, she needs to look outside the box and think, hang on a minute, think about your employees, think about it's Christmas. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. She's not as bad as what they think she is. She's not doing it intentionally. She's not like, oh, I'm going to hold these people hostage for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But she has all the best intentions, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why I want David to have her back a little bit more. Like, it's the company that they've been trying to build, and David has been very much a part of that. Yes, it's Christmas. Totally get that. And of course, they should not have to work on Christmas Day and all of that, definitely, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see Maddie as, like, the very harsh, grinchy person that they're trying to paint her out to be here. But maybe it just has to work for the episode.
Even when he first walks in.
A little cold in here. Jack Frost nipping at your mood.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of references in this scene too. She says, well, I'm not asking them to donate a kidney, and explains that she, you know, doesn't appreciate being treated like Captain Bly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And she's like, say something.
Aye, aye.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Sarcasm.
Yes.
You know what I thought was a great line was when he said, aye, aye, he goes,
maybe if you didn't make him swab the deck on Christmas.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's a good line.
And then David mentions, remember Christmas, Home and Hearth, Donna and Blitzen, Bar and Humbug.
Yes.
But you know what? This is hard. You see both sides, you know, and Maddie believes that they should have some gratitude in them. And she says that they have steady jobs, benefits and Christmas bonuses. And of course, David's smart ass remark saying, I'm not quite sure they think of the Cheese Whiz sampler as a bonus. Would she give them a Cheese Whiz sampler as a bonus? I don't even know what that is, by the way.
Cheese Whiz, that's cheese in a can, kind of a spray can.
Oh, whiz. No, that's bad.
Yeah, I think he's joking. I know.
But, you know, Maddie's right in saying that she held the place afloat when things weren't so financial. With his help, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and she covered the payroll. She made sure that, you know, they had a job. And when she needs a favor, and that's when David says,
a favor is something you ask someone for.
And you never ask them.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
And this is great. What she says next ties into what Mr. Pesto says in her Joan Collins scene. in the future.
Yeah.
What would you have me do? Call Mr. Hamilton up and say, Mr. Hamilton, I'm sorry, we can't take this case because everyone here has visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads.
That's what I'd do as he sucks on his candy cane. You would, yeah. Wouldn't you? So that mirrors the scene that's coming up later on.
That's right.
She is actually shocked that David is siding with the Wobblies. But as we've said before, he's allowed to disagree with her. But in front of the Wobblies, he needs to show a united front.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's so against her. But again, I guess plot-wise, she needs to kind of be on an island to make the rest of it work.
No one's asking them to work Christmas Day, necessarily, if they get their work done.
Get wow. to work, people. Stop taking down the decorations. Mm. Sounds like there's a lot of work to be done. So how about just getting to work and trying to get it done and make sure you have Christmas Day off and keep it moving.
Yeah, so Agnes knocks on the door and David answers it and there's a phone call for Maddie. She asks David to close the door behind him, but he stays in the room and gives her one final admonishment. Okay, fine. You want to be king of the hill, top of the heap? That's good. Just remember, Maddie, a good job doesn't love you back. A reference to New York, New York, sung by Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
King of the hill, top of the heap. You know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't get that. Good. Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's not all ringing true. I don't see Maddie as someone who's just loving work, you know, but I think she's just trying to meet the client's needs. But like you said, I see both sides. But I think Dave is being very harsh because I don't see Maddie like that. I just think she wants her business to be successful. And I thought that's what David wanted too. You know, it's a tough one.
I guess all her life she's been work oriented, whether it was modeling or running the agency.
Mm-hmm.
It's all she knows, I guess. So anyway, she answers the phone and this is a lovely scene. She acts this out so well, talking to her father, and she's adamant that she's about to leave now to visit Aunt Ruth, but unfortunately informs her that Aunt Ruth has died, and you work that out automatically by her emotions. She does a really wonderful job here, showing a lot of regret for not going to see her aunt sooner, and the Maddie music comes on, and this is where she also says something for the viewer's benefit. I know you're hundreds of miles away and I'm four blocks. And she keeps apologising. But can I say something? I don't know whose sister Aunt Ruth was, whether it was her mother's or her father's sister. But if she was so ill, why aren't they coming down from Chicago?
I was going to say the same thing. Shouldn't they be there? I mean, yes, it's one of their sisters or brothers. I mean, maybe they didn't realize exactly how ill she was and they just wanted Maddie to go see her or something. But I agree, one or both of them should have been on a plane for their sister who was in the hospital so deathly ill, and they keep hounding Maddie about it. Yes, it's another one of those phone calls that's for the viewer's benefit. Like, hi, Daddy. Yeah, Daddy, I'm setting down the phone, walking out the door and going to see you. Like, why didn't she just go straight from home to the hospital with the gift? You know, there's a lot of logistics there that exactly whose sister is it? Why aren't they there seeing her? Why didn't Maddie go straight from her house? You're right. Sybil plays the emotion of the scene really well. It's kind of pointing it out for the viewer. And now Aunt Ruth is dead. My goodness. How sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
And yeah, you can really feel Maddie's regret that, you know, and it does kind of start putting everything else in perspective. She's focused on work, but meanwhile, she's lost a family member. All of the Wobblies are upset. David's against her. Yeah, not a good day for Maddie.
Yeah, poor Maddie. But then again, the whole episode is about Maddie.
Sure is. Yeah, the next scene like breaks my heart again. Just McGillicuddy's harshness to her, especially knowing now that she's upset about her Aunt Ruth. And she is not leaving with her jacket. Let it be noted.
That bloody jacket.
Maybe it was in the car.
Yeah, I was going to say that earlier. I thought, you know, at least that scene you could understand because she's come from the, as you call it, the parking garage. So she could have left it in the car. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
All right, so she walks out of her office and she is still getting glares from her staff. She goes to walk towards the door and McGillicuddy decides to say, short day, huh? And she says, I'm going out.
Out. That's terrific. This north wind blows through here, turns everyone's life to hell, and skips off to the beauty salon.
McGillicuddy!
Yeah, he's awful. Yeah, I think he says Miss North Wind, right? You say miss or this?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, okay. I thought he just said this north wind blows through here, but he might have said miss. Okay, yep. Okay.
I think he says miss. That's how I always heard it. Miss north wind. Cool. I don't like McGillicuddy's words to her. He should be fired.
Insubordination. Maddie turns around with a shocked look on her face and says,
"You're fired."
And of course, McGillicuddy replies, "No, no.
I quit."
But the way she turns around, oh, the look on her face is just perfect. Her response to it. So sad. He drops the box with the decorations in it and they all begin clapping. Oh, sure. Yeah, it breaks my heart. The whole thing.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I agree. The whole scene breaks my heart. And you're right. When Sybil turns around, she has like a sadness in her eyes. It's all very real. Great acting as usual.
Herbert is seen here scratching his head and he was seen for one cut in an earlier scene when Maddie arrives, when Agnes was explaining about, you know, how they were packing up. Yeah, so he's only there for those two little cuts, but you don't see him anywhere else.
Yeah, it's definitely just a little insert of him to make it look like he was there, but yeah, he's not in that main part of the office. But also, they have a cut of David standing in his office doorway. The door is open behind him, but when you see Bert, you can see David's office door and it's closed. When you see Bert, you should be able to see David behind him, you know, because Dave is just standing there in the doorway, right? But you see a closed door. You don't see David behind Bert. So yeah, that was definitely like a separate cut and inserted later.
Oh, good pickup. I didn't pick that one up.
Yeah. But yeah, again, David just lets them talk to her like that.
Yeah, that's what I don't like. He needed to step in.
Yes. That's ridiculous. Like, that's awful, you know? He's literally just standing there shaking his head. I mean, come on. He knows Maddie. He can, I'm sure, read her mood. She looks pretty upset. And we can see it. And he stands there while the Wobblies do that to her. I'm definitely not okay with any of that.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
No, it's awful. They're all clapping. He's calling her Miss North Wind, you know, comments on cold and it's all terrible.
I mean, David should have called McGillicuddy into the woodshed like he did with Viola.
Oh, yeah, at least.
It was very deadly.
Yeah, McGillicuddy should have left immediately. I don't know at what point we want to talk about, you know, the in real life, you know, what was going on. Now, my thoughts are, Sybil was pretty unhappy on the set of Moonlighting and her and Glenn, we talked about it in Big Man, had a big fight. And there was a, kind of an ongoing battle, you know, in the outside world of behind the scenes of Moonlighting. So do you think this episode is kind of Glenn's way of trying to remind Sybil, it's a wonderful job that you're lucky to have this job and look what it's done for your career. And we know that Sybil also took a lot of sick days and stuff like that around the filming of Atomic and Big Man and all of that. And which is why I think Bruce is getting more of a break on this episode. But do you think some of this harshness towards Maddie is really the harshness towards Sybil?
I think he's definitely trying to express his thoughts in the script.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I mean,
in his eyes, she's got it good. They both got paid very well. All right, yes, very long hours. I couldn't possibly imagine, but it's a wonderful job. And I'm not sure if it's in the commentary or in one of the interviews with the three of them. She does say that she enjoys watching it now and she wish she had have relaxed a little bit and enjoyed it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, I think it is possible that he's trying to tell her something. Yes.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. So I think it's maybe the disproportionate harshness towards Maddie is really Glenn and probably other people on the sets, you know, feelings towards Sybil at the time. Because also let's think about where we last left these characters. Okay. Big Man on Mulberry Street. The last time we saw them really together was her laying her head on David's shoulder and they were in a really good place. And there was kind of some movement in their relationship because she had, you know, gone out to New York to try to help him after finding out he was married and all of that. Then we had Atomic Shakespeare in between there. So this is the first time we're really seeing them since Big Man.
Yeah.
And their relationship was in a really good place. So yeah, I just don't love not seeing them as more of a united front and David having her back a little bit more in this episode.
Yeah, they definitely got our hopes up with Big Man on Mulberry Street, ending with her looking at him so lovingly on the plane. And then Atomic, well, that's not in a timeline, but now It's a Wonderful Job. He's just done a complete 180.
Yeah, just kind of like gone the other way.
I don't know, Shauna. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I think we just have to, yes, this is a kind of a standalone episode. This is actually not really following the Maddie and David relationship. Again, it's a Christmas episode. So it's a little bit in its own world, right? And part of it is a dream-esque, whatever happens when she's passed out. So yeah, we can't really, I guess, expect it to follow like straight from Big Man. But still, even from prior episodes, I just don't see David leaving Maddie standing there alone while the Wobblies ridicule her and humiliate her. So don't love that. And I don't care where we are in the life of their story. I can't see that happening. But again, yeah, it's a Christmas episode. Part of it's a fantasy and stuff. So I guess we have to not be so critical. But I think we're more along the lines in the right direction of Glenn's frustrations coming out through the writing with Sybil. Glenn's frustrations come out towards Sybil in other episodes further on down the line, which we, you know, will eventually get to. But I think this is a good example of that happening through the writing.
Shauna and I decided to put our heads together once again to see what else we could do for our favorite TV show, Moonlighting, and all the Moonlighting fans. Then, ba-bing, we get this idea. Why not write a book? We began putting pen to paper and came up with Moonlighting, an episode guide. It's everything you want to know about each and every episode. We asked Moonlighting creator, Glenn Gordon Caron, to write the foreword. And of course, he replied, do bears bear? Do bees bee? I think that was a yes. Just like our podcast, we go in chronological order and talk about each episode in detail. We take a deep look into everything that made this show so unique, such as Agnes Rhymes, and the full original music credits for each episode. What's the total count on the door slams of the whole series? Well, you'll have to buy the book to find out. Go to tuckerdspress.com to purchase your book so that you can watch an episode, listen to the podcast, then read our review of the episode in the book. We will also place a link below in your show notes page of wherever you listen to your podcasts to purchase your book, and keep it on hand because this is going to be your go-to reference for Moonlighting. The fact that they've used the Blue Moon workers in such a way, because normally they've just been a prop in the background. All they do is walk around, shuffle paper. They do the Blue Moon shuffle, as I've said before. But in this episode, they're brought into the foreground to really give it to Maddie. And that's really unusual.
Yeah, I always kind of viewed the workers, and especially Agnes. And Agnes can voice the frustrations here and there. She has more of a right to. The other workers, to me, they don't have the right to do it. And I've always seen them as more, you know, neutral, just happy they're employed, sitting there, you know, doing nothing.
Doing nothing. No, that's what I'm saying. They do nothing. And they're complaining they now nothing. They got to work Christmas. You know what? They've had Christmas all year.
And, you know, as Agnes says in other episodes, the fun for them is watching Maddie and David's banter and them fall in love and, yeah, their relationship and things like that. And this feels very one-sided. I think of the Wobblies as more neutral characters. This feels like we don't like our boss, and I don't like that. Anyway, should we move on to...
Well, I just want to say that Maddie, before she leaves, she says, did I really ask so much? Did I?
All I asked was for a little extra help. Well, I hear your answer loud and clear. I wish I'd never kept this place open. Then we'd see how cocky you'd be. Then we'd see.
And she leaves and shuts the door.
Yes, and that's the crux of the whole episode right there. Okay, so now we're at the bar. And what we find out is it's a little after 6 p.m. Seems Maddie came in around 9. Where did Maddie go after Blue Moon? Has she been at this bar drinking all day?
Yeah, I didn't get the timeline here because she arrived in the morning.
The tree trimming was at 10.
And now it's at 6 or something. So what's she been doing all day, Shauna? I don't know.
I wonder if she went to the hospital maybe to deal with Aunt Ruth, you know, and kind of tie that up for the family.
Okay. For help. That's a good explanation. Yep.
And eventually makes her way to this bar. Yeah, where she's drinking her, well, they say double martinis, but those aren't doubles. But yeah, she's downing them pretty good anyway. A double martini glass would be a lot bigger than that. That's just a regular size martini.
All right. So she's drinking her martini and the bartender is trying to cheer her up by getting her to open up about her problems because he can clearly see that she is upset.
I don't want friendly and I don't want chat. I didn't come here to feel better. I came here to feel miserable. So give me another drink, please, and hold a pep talk.
Considerate hell.
Yep. She doesn't want any therapy from the bartender. I like this angle on Sybil, you know, camera left, right? That's what she always, it is. It's a good angle for her and the whole profile. I think she looks so cute here.
It's interesting now that we know the story. You can see Albert in the background all blurry, just watching her.
Yes. And he comes over and approaches Maddie, which is probably not a first for her, right? She's used to men approaching her, I'm sure, coming over and wanting to chat. So she assumes that he's hitting on her. The line that I love is he goes, "I'm a very good listener." And she goes, "Not so far, you're not."
That's really good. I love that.
I love that, yeah.
A sense of humor. I like that in a woman.
Yep.
But Maddie is in no mood and attempts to leave the bar, but he offers to buy her a cup of coffee, but she declines. Little does she know that he is her guardian angel and he is about to throw her into an alternate reality, Shauna.
Mm-hmm. Alternative universe, yes. So basically, he's just offering to talk to her. She wants to get away from him. He's kind of insinuating she's had too much to drink, wants to buy her coffee. And finally, she walks away from him and ends up, looks like maybe she was at a hotel bar. They're at some kind of hotel. There's a pool up there looking over Los Angeles. And so she goes up there and he follows.
It's funny, you know, I thought of you when I saw the sign because she's on a rooftop of possibly a hotel because you can see the pool there later. And there's a sign there, roof garden / pool. And I've written here, yeah. Guess what, Shauna? It's not writing from the props department.
No, it's not. It's a genuine sign. So yes, they were on location somewhere. Not sure where they were, but you know, when she looks down, it looks like Wilshire or something that, you know, they often used. So Albert follows her up there and he insinuates that she's thinking about jumping. What do you think about that? What do you think about, you know, is Maddie contemplating suicide here?
I don't think so. She's not acting like she was just looking over. I would walk over and just look over. Well, I'd like to think that she's not, but I didn't get the impression that that's what she was thinking about. But then again, why did she go to the roof? Good question.
Yeah, I would think that she just went up to the roof to get away from him and maybe get some fresh air. And
yep.
I don't know. It just to me is out of character that Maddie would go up there and like spontaneously contemplate suicide or jumping off the roof. She's a very strong woman. And not that people can't hit low points, absolutely, you know, but I just don't see that because of what happened with Aunt Ruth and things like that and people being a little harsh with her at work, I don't see that as pushing Maddie to the point where she's going to jump off a roof.
I agree. She's had a bad day, but it's not the type of day that would make somebody make that type of decision unless you've already had other bad things happen in your life. So all Maddie has had is a bad day. So I don't get the impression that that's why she went up there.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I don't know why Albert's really insinuating that, but that's okay. I think maybe, I guess he's trying to say is that she's just very unhappy with her life and her life choices in the moment. So what he's trying to do is walk her down this path to show her what life, you know, the whole plot of the episode, right? What life would have been like without Blue Moon and make her appreciate her life now. I think that's his whole point.
By this time, she's thinking he's an absolute nutcase.
Yeah, she wants to get away from him.
He steps into people's lives when things seem the blackest, occasionally making something extraordinary happen, like I just did with you. So this is when he informs her that he knows that a few hours ago she wished that she had never kept the agency open. And she steps back and says, "Get away from me." So she's really scared now. She's thinking, wow, how did he know that? So he says to her that there's nothing to be afraid of. You made a wish. And it's come true. You never kept your business afloat, and the last 2 years never happened, at least not in the way you remember them. He tries to convince her to come with him to prove what he's been saying, but she's very frightened at this stage, and I'm not getting in the elevator with you, and she walks backwards and then runs towards the elevator. But he's not bothered because he's like, any button, any floor, it doesn't matter. Press whatever you like. She gets in, and then when the elevator opens, you notice that the screen displays that she is now basically in another world.
Yeah. So like you said, he's not bothered because he knows he's going to catch up with her anyway, because he's an angel. And so when we come back to Blue Moon, which is where the elevator doors, you know, she was on the rooftop and now they open up into the Blue Moon offices, the color of her outfit changes, Grace. So now we've gone from like a purple dress and kind of a purplish blue coat to everything is all this light colored blue. So the outfit has changed. And yeah, as you've pointed out, there's kind of a different screen or color about her face. So are we thinking that, okay, so here's my question.
Yeah.
When Maddie gets woken up by the bartender later, he says that she face planted into the pretzels. So she never went up to the roof. So when does this whole dream, should we just call it a dream? When does this whole dream start for Maddie? Like right now when she's getting into the elevator, like she never met Albert, right? Or she did meet Albert. It's just that okay. So Albert puts her back at the bar. That's what Albert does later. All the bartender notices is that Maddie has passed out into the pretzels and he wakes her up. As far as the bartender knows, it was just like 1 second, you know, she was awake and drinking her martini and the next second she was on the bar. So my question is, why the outfit color change now? Because I think what you're saying is this is where the dream starts. Yeah, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah, that's right. So I was watching it again last night and I'm still a little confused because you're right. Technically, she didn't go to the roof because if she put her face in the pretzel sticks, mm-hmm. she was dreaming from there. So it seems like going up to the roof and talking to Albert is already the start of the dream.
Yeah.
But that's okay because what he's doing is going, okay, you're in the elevator now. Now this is where Blue Moon never happened.
Yes.
And that's why the color change of her dress.
So you think the color change of her dress was purposeful? This was not an accident. This isn't like a continuity error.
No, I don't think so. I just think it's the part of the dream because then the color goes back to normal at the end.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Yeah, because I was thinking they do some trick photography, you know, they do some green screen stuff or something, whatever they did in the 80s to make them go through the doors and things like that. So I was wondering if the color of the outfit needed to be a little bit different to make these magical things happen with the green screen and stuff. Like if maybe it was a better color. I don't know.
I think it's just to show the viewers that she's not in the present at the moment. She's in, as you said, an alternate universe because he is showing her what has happened to all her friends now that she's not in their life.
Right. Yes. Mm. It's a visual cue to the viewer that we're in a different time and space now.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I think.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think they've visually tried to explain that to the viewer in quite a good way. I think they've done it well, even though you really got to think about it to work it out. But it's there, you know?
Yeah. And just until recently, I didn't notice that the dress color changed. So, but maybe subtly I did, you know, maybe subconsciously, whatever. But yeah, interesting. So Maddie steps out and kind of mirroring the scene from earlier, the Santa comes up to get into the elevator. She's getting out and she asks about the tree trimming party or how did it go? She asks because it already happened as far as she knew. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it's at 11. So different time and space, things happen in a different time. And so this is Maddie's first kind of like, wait, what? Things are different. Things are different. That's her first kind of inkling, right? So she's very cautiously making her way down the hallway, yes. kind of looking back, you know, the Santa and everything. Yeah. What's he telling me? And we still get people walking in that hallway that they used with the women earlier, but, you know, the continuity is fine this time. But it's just funny to me because I don't think we ever see people walking using that hallway in other episodes that I've ever noticed.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's funny that
there has been a couple, but it's not very often. Normally it's just Maddie and David just walking down the hallway. And anyway, she walks towards Blue Moon, walks straight past, goes in the door. Didn't she notice a sign on the window?
No. Well, maybe she did, but she's just kind of walking in like, what's happening here? You know, I don't know. We don't see her notice that it says Heart Agency now.
Yeah, she walks straight in and the receptionist goes, Miss, may I help you? Then she goes to answer the phone. Heart agency. Then you hear a distinctive voice in the background coming out of what was Maddie's office.
Absolutely, Mr. H. Positively. Yes, sir, Mr. H. It'll be done in no time at all.
And it's the gravelly voice of Lionel Stander, who has reprised his role yet again of Max from Heart to Heart, which was a great show. Another detective show, which ran from 1979 to 1984. And he's holding the dog.
Yeah. So I never watched Heart to Heart. So this guy, Mr. H, I know it was a married couple that did like detective work, Heart to Heart, right? So who's the dog? And was this their assistant? Do you know anything about the show?
He was sort of a quirky little character that used to help them out.
From memory, I'm pretty sure he was their butler, but he also did other things as well. Similar to Ludwig in Poltergeist 3, De Pesto Nothing.
I don't remember the dog, but they must have had a dog in the show. I'll have to go and watch it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know that much about it, but I did look up the show, and it just makes me laugh because this is what we wish happened with Moonlighting. Yes. So they had 5 seasons, and then they did a TV movie in 1993, Grace.
They did quite a few, actually.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
And in their first season, they did 22 episodes, Grace. And then the second season, they did 20. Third, 24. Fourth season, 22. And fifth season, 22. So gosh, it was possible to do 22 episodes a season, you know? And then, yeah, TV movie. How happy would we have been?
Oh my God.
If we did all that Moonlighting.
Right.
Well, just 22 episodes a season would have been great.
The only difference is, Shauna, the scripts weren't 85 pages long.
No.
I don't think they would have been. You wouldn't have had that fast-paced dialogue in it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I'm sure it wasn't Moonlighting-esque, but it's just funny to me. It's like, wow, look at that. 5 seasons, 22 episodes a season, and TV movies. Would have loved that.
But, yeah, that's what we would have loved.
Yeah, so it's just funny to me. But anyway, yeah, so they do a cheeky little reference to another agency. That's so Glenn, right, to say like, oh, but it's the Hart Agency. Crossing over TV shows here, kind of doing a mashup with TV. Yeah, just a little reference to another show. And they, you know, haven't I seen you someplace before? You know, do that kind of recognition thing. And yeah.
It's great. Because he passes Maddie and they both say together,
"Don't I know you from somewhere?"
Yeah. Nah. And then Maddie asks, "What happened to Blue Moon?" He's like, "Blue Moon? You know, the agency that was here before. Oh, them. Oh, yeah, they came in one day and fired everybody, 1, 2, 3 or whatever." But, Grace, a little continuity error. I don't know how we labeled it in the book, but Lionel's, is that guy's name Lionel?
No, his name was Max in the show.
If she came in and closed, which was City of Angels Investigations, Blue Moon never would have existed. And David seems to further prove that they never got to the point where it did become Blue Moon and the agency was closed. So yeah, he shouldn't know what Blue Moon even was.
That's correct. Yeah, because Blue Moon never existed. So he should have said, "What on earth are you talking about?"
Yeah, right. Unless the only thing I thought was if he wasn't even thinking like what was and was just like, oh, whatever that agency that was here before they closed it up and that was it. You know, so maybe he wasn't thinking exactly Blue Moon.
Yeah.
So that's the only way I could explain. But of course, she can't say what happened to City of Angels because if someone hadn't seen the pilot, you know, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it just doesn't make sense for her to say anything other than Blue Moon. So I get that as far as just having viewers stick with the plot at hand, you know. So I get it. In the life of the series, since we have to look at it all and discuss it all, he shouldn't know what Blue Moon is.
If you need a detective, Mr. and Mrs. H are the greatest. And boy, can they wear clothes.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Oh, he says that because they were a very rich couple and they were always very well-dressed in the show.
Okay.
Very fancy, yeah. So she walks away backwards again. She was walking backwards. And then she walks out and looks through the window through the new logo.
Mm-hmm. When I looked yesterday, the plot seemed like they were husband and wife who got involved in some kind of mystery and ended up having to do detective work. Were they actual detectives? And it looked like it was like Hart Industries.
They weren't detectives. In the show, they were a very wealthy couple. And for some reason, they always got themselves involved in a murder, just like Jessica Fletcher in Murder, She Wrote. And by the end, with Max's help, they ended up solving the crime each time. But you're right. It would have been nice if Maddie and David did the same thing.
Yeah. You know what would be fun is to do a montage of all of the different logos that have been on the Blue Moon window. You know?
That's true. We had
City of Angels, Blue Moon, Hart. And I see England, it's called Black Moon.
That's right.
And a few others, too, that we're not even mentioning. Yeah, so it'd be kind of fun to do a montage of the window and how it's changed over the years.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Shauna. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, maybe I'll get around to it. Where's that little sexy scene with Sybil Bruce?
Oh, that's right. Gibson or something?
It's called Gibson O'Rourke Investments. And there's a few others that we're not thinking of now, but yeah, that'd be a montage. Anyway, she's very now getting upset with Albert.
She thinks he's a genie or a witch.
Yeah, she still wants him away from her.
Oh, you don't believe in that stuff, do you? Oh, that's right. I forgot. You don't believe in much of anything, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So this is when he discloses that he's a guardian angel and that not just her, but that apparently everyone has a guardian angel.
But I've been depressed before. How come you didn't show up?
What makes you think I didn't show up? Haven't you ever been down and turn on the TV and your favorite movie was playing? Or been in the market and a stranger gave you a few pennies when you were short? Or when a friend called just when you needed to talk to somebody? And Maddie starts laughing. She thinks it's all a dream.
What's so funny?
This, you. I'm sorry, it's just funny. I know what this is. I know what you are. You're a dream or indigestion or drinking too much.
So she's getting very happy now, Shauna. I don't like this.
This is wonderful. This is terrific. Blue Moon is gone. It's gone. Even if it is only a dream.
Yes, Maddie is very happy now that she's realized Albert has made all of her wishes and dreams come true and that Blue Moon is gone, which we don't like. They do give a little foreshadowing, like, you know, indigestion or just from drinking too much. And she just wants to run off and be done with it. And he's like, not so fast.
She goes to leave and gets in the lift. The door closes, the door opens, and Albert is still standing there. And she's like, hello. And she's like, I pushed lobby. We're not finished yet, Maddie. Sure we are. I wished you granted. What else is there?
I just changed the last 2 years of your life. Don't you want to know what happened? To you, to the others, to David?
No. I know what happened to all of them.
She thinks she knows what happened to all of them. She's got it all worked out in her head. Oh, no problem. She knows exactly what's happened to these people. I'm sure that Agnes is working for someone doing something, but I'm sure they're not putting up with the eccentric nonsense I did.
Maybe she isn't working. Maybe she's sitting around dreaming up words to rhyme with unemployed.
And the elevator door closes.
Yes. And when it opens, we see two pairs of feet coming out of the elevator, but Albert's feet aren't touching the ground, which is pretty good.
That was good how they pretty did good. That.
Yeah, that's cute.
Thank you for listening to It's a Wonderful Job Part 1. Join us next week for Part 2.
Well, until next time.
I'm Grace.
And I'm Shauna.
Thank you for listening to Moonlighting the Podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.